All right, has anyone here ever made a bad decision? A lot of us remember some of our early bad decisions, especially us boys. They probably involved a bicycle and a ramp or something like that, you know. And you thought, because you saw it on TV or somebody else do it, that you could do it, and you didn't realize that that type of wood wasn't strong enough when you put it up against the milk box, and that it would snap and that you would go right over your handlebars and have a big wreck, you know. I'm just saying. I'm not saying that was me. I mean, it was, but you know, you make bad decisions, but sometimes they're in the moment, or sometimes they're really big things, choices that kind of set the direction for your life. And so we're constantly making decisions, and I think that we should all hope to want to make good decisions, and good decisions are consistent with God's will and what God wants for us and what's best for us. And what will be the thing that will allow us to serve Him and help other people and just to live the life that God wants us to do. So we are constantly making decisions all the time. We make decisions about, you know, who is it that we're really going to associate with, spend a lot of time with, who we're going to allow to influence us and who we're going to try to influence, what we're going to put into our minds, you know, what we're going to watch on television, what kind of movies we're going to take part in, you know, just all these different things. We're making decisions like constantly how we're going to serve God, what we're going to do with our time and our resources and what we have. And so I would say that the title is bad decisions, but you know, sometimes you focus on the negative, it sure gives you a lot of good thought for the positive way. So the title is bad decisions, but ultimately the goal here is that we want to make good decisions. Amen? Amen. Good decisions. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for how powerful and amazing your word is in transforming and changing our lives, Lord. I ask you today to do a work in us, in our hearts, in our minds, that bring about change and a positive direction and a newness in you, and that we think about things differently. We have different desires. Our will is changed and conformed to you and what you want. And we just pray that you'll do that. And we know that you do that through your word and your Holy Spirit. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. So let's just read through it. And if you could roll back after we read through the whole thing. We are in Genesis, so we're picking up where we left off last week, chapter 12, verse 10. It says, "Now there was a famine in the land. So Abram went down to Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was severe in the land. When he was about to enter Egypt, he said to Sarai, his wife, 'I know that you are a woman beautiful in appearance. And when the Egyptians see you, they will say, "This is his wife." Then they will kill me, but they will let you live. Say, "You are my sister, that it may go well with me because of you, and that my life may be spared for your sake." When Abram entered Egypt, the Egyptians saw that the woman was very beautiful. And when the princes of Pharaoh saw her, they praised her to Pharaoh. And the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. And for her sake, he dealt well with Abram. And he had sheep, oxen, male donkeys, and male servants, female donkeys, and camels. But the Lord afflicted Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. So Pharaoh called Abram and said, "What is this you have done to me? Why did you not tell me that she was your wife? Why did you say, 'She is my sister,' so that I took her for my wife? Now then, here is your wife, take her and go." And Pharaoh gave men orders concerning him, and they sent him away with his wife and all that he had. All right, so there's the story. So if you can roll back. I didn't miss any of that, did I? Okay, so back to the beginning as we look at it and we think about it. So just remembering that God called Abram to go into this new land, to go to this new place, and Abram had faith and he believed God and he obeyed him and he went. And God said, you know, he gave him basically seven promises. We went over that last week. But some of the big ones were that he was going to make a great nation of him. He was going to make him a blessing. He was going to bless everyone who blessed him and curse those who were against him. And that he was going to bless every family on the face of the earth through Abram. And even though Abram had no children or anything at this time of his own. And so he calls him into this land. And we don't know how much time passed since he's been in the land, but he's in the promised land. And as being in the promised land, there is a famine there. Everyone knows what a famine is, right? It's the weather probably hasn't rained enough to produce the crops, and things are bad, and there's lack of food, and everyone's having trouble eating, and they're starving. So there's this famine in the land. So Abram looks around. It's kind of like what we talked about in Sunday school. You missed a great setup to this in Sunday school if you weren't there. He kind of looks around at what's happening in his life, and he makes a decision. This is a decision he makes. Now, in this passage, it's just a story of what happens. It doesn't say Abram made a bad decision here or there or this or that. It doesn't really give you that. It kind of leaves it up to us to make some conclusions. And so I can kind of come up with two different views on this and argue both sides of it. But I'm going to kind of take one here today and not be really dogmatic about it, but say, hey, look, this is an example. So Abram's called into the land, to the promised land. He looks around. He sees this famine. He sees what's happening. He problem solves on his own without seeking God. And he decides that Egypt would be a better place to be rather than to be in this land, to go, probably in his mind temporarily, down to Egypt to get food and to get what we need to be taken care of. So he goes. Now, it does not say anywhere here that he sought the Lord on this decision. Okay? It doesn't say that, so I can't give you, you know, that positive, you know, thing that says, you know, God told him to do this, or he sought God, God answered in prayer, and he did it. No, it looks to me like this is a decision that he made on his own. So he goes down to Egypt. And this is the kind of thing that we do all the time when we make decisions. We just look at what's going on in our world and everything that's happening, and through our own intelligence and our own problem solving, we come up with some choice for our life and direction for our life that we think would be best. And we forget to seek God, and we forget to acknowledge God in it, and look for answers in His Word, this kind of thing. We just make the same kind of decisions that everyone else makes. And whether or not this is, you know, I'm representing this, you know, totally perfectly or not, I believe that that's true about all of us in our lives. And that's the kind of thing that we need to get over to make the kind of decisions that God wants us to make, the kind of decisions that would be healthy and best for us spiritually and in the light of eternity, and that I think are the ones that ultimately you'll look back and wish that you made these kind of decisions. Amen? Because we all made bad decisions, have made bad decisions. Okay, so here's Abram. He makes this decision. And when he was about to enter Egypt, so they're going to Egypt, he said to Sarai, his wife, and again, he's looking around, he's seeing kind of what's happening and what might happen around him, and he's coming to some conclusions based on the evidence and things that are there and his own problem solving, and he comes up with this idea to solve this problem that he sees, and he tells it to his wife. He says, I know that you are a woman beautiful in appearance. And when the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife. Then they will kill me, but they will let you live. Now, he's probably not going to get Husband of the Year award here for this. And he sees the problem. Now, I want to give you just a little more context. Abram's 75 years old when this is happening. And his wife is 65 years old. Now, of course, they live longer, but this is the kind of problem Abram had. His wife was so good looking at 65 years old that he was worried that people were going to kill him and take his wife from him. Amen? You can admit that's a good problem to have, right? I mean, come on. I hope we all think about our wives this way, right? Amen? Amen. I think about my wife this way. So, here he is. He sees the problem. And I don't think this is just in his own imagination, because you'll see what happens later on. I mean, his wife was really good looking. All right, and so he saw that, and he was afraid. He was afraid for his life. So again, he's just kind of thinking, and he's problem solving, and he's doing this. And he says, honey, I've been thinking, and you realize you are good looking, tells her, right? And I don't know how often he tells her this kind of thing, you know, but he says, you know what's going to happen when we go to Egypt? They're going to see you, and they're going to try to take you, and they're going to kill me. You're going to be alive, but I'm going to be dead. We're not going to have a marriage then. How good is that? I've got a plan. my plan is for you to go ahead and tell them you're my sister, and then they won't kill me. I don't know what they'll do, but they won't kill me because you're just my sister. All right, so that's why he doesn't win Husband of the Year. And again, nowhere does it say that this was God's idea or that God told him to do this or that he even prayed to God and lifted this up to God. And I think kind of what I see here is when you start making decisions on your own, you make a bad decision, a lot of times it puts you in a situation where you might do it again and there's a snowball effect. Okay, so the food problem was one thing, and then the whole problem with his wife and them taking her and this, and his, and he doesn't, and I don't think he knows going into this that Pharaoh is going to take his wife. He's just worried about all the other guys there, right? That this is going to happen. So there's a snowball effect that we see here. Okay, so he goes on, he says, "Say you are my sister, that it may go well with me because of you, and that my life may be spared for your sake." So, here, I guess you could argue maybe he has some idea what's going to happen, but he thinks that if she's his wife, if he says he's his wife, they're going to kill him. But if she's his sister, they might take her and treat him well. And that's what he's hoping for. Now, who gets Wife of the Year award here now? Right? Sarah, you know, I mean, you think about it. I don't know what kind of things your husbands ask you to do, but this is kind of a direct request being made by her husband, which is out of line, I would say, and not good for her, but she does go along with it, and she submits herself to him. And this is kind of a little bit of her character you see a lot of times. Sometimes you might see her later on, kind of, there might be a point where people might say, look, she didn't trust God, or she didn't believe God, or she laughed at God when he made a promise. But here, you know, you see that she's very submissive to her husband here. And she's going to go along with his plan. When Abram entered Egypt, the Egyptians saw that the woman was very beautiful. And when the princes of Pharaoh saw her, they praised her to Pharaoh, and the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. So they go into the land, and according to plan, and she does what he says. And not only do the men notice, but the princes of Pharaoh, so like his sons notice, and they come back and they're like, Dad, you would not believe this woman that we saw. She is just beautiful. And they tell this to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh says, sounds good. Bring her here. She'll be my wife. And that's what Pharaoh did. So she's taken into his house there. And again, this is the snowball effect of bad decisions, right? Again, I don't think that he knew that she'd ultimately be taken into Pharaoh's house. And for her sake, though, for her sake, he, Pharaoh, dealt well with Abram. And he had sheep, oxen, male donkeys, male servants, female donkeys, and camels. And so Abram is doing okay. You know, his plan seems to be working, right? I don't know how long exactly this went on, but you know, as he's looking at it, according to his idea, things seem to be working out okay. I don't know how much he missed his wife or what he thought or how much this bothered him that his wife was sent off to be with Pharaoh. But it kind of at first has the appearance that things are going right. And this is kind of how sometimes bad decisions are. You know, it might look okay for just a little bit, but then, okay, it all comes apart. I mean, it kind of reminds me of David a little bit. You know, when David made a very bad decision, first of all, to not go off to war when kings go off to war, and then to be looking around and seeing Bathsheba bathing, and then to call her to be with him, and then ultimately it led to him trying to get her husband to come back and sleep with her because she became pregnant, and then eventually murdering him. And I was reading the Bible this week about that. I was reading that story, and something I noticed this week, he didn't just murder Uriah, he murdered several other men that were with him. Uriah wasn't the only one that died because of that. When he sent Uriah out and they drew him back in, other men died. So David was, he was a murderer. And it was this snowball effect of bad decisions. And so, but for a while, it looked good. And everything seemed okay to David for a while until then Nathan the prophet came. And it's kind of like this here. It kind of looks like things are going according to plan, but they're really not. And things are about to fall apart. And that's why we need to make good decisions. He says, "But the Lord afflicted Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife." This was not the Lord's plan. This was not what the Lord wanted. The Lord's plan is for Sarah, even though she's barren, her name's going to be Sarah, it's Sarai now, to ultimately have a child, and for that child to be the child of promise, and for God to establish His people through them, and for Christ to ultimately come, be the Savior of the world. So He doesn't want Pharaoh to take Sarah and mistreat her. And so even though her husband didn't protect her, God's going to protect her. Amen? Isn't that sweet? And so God afflicted Pharaoh and his house with great plagues. So all kinds, we don't know the exact things that were going on. Maybe they're having great boils and sores, and maybe it's something a little bit like the plagues that you see later on, okay, with Moses. I don't know, but God came down hard on Pharaoh's house, and it must have been obvious to them that something was going on, and that it had to do with Sarai, and that's the conclusion that they reached. And somehow God revealed that to them, because we see, it says, so Pharaoh called Abram and said, "What is this you have done to me? Why did you not tell me that she was your wife? You let me believe that she was your sister." Now, later on, we're going to see that Abram says that she's his half-sister. And so this was kind of a half-truth. But a half-truth is a whole lie. Amen? Amen? So if you're in the position where you're trying to kind of manipulate things, technicalities, these kind of things, you know, kind of like politicians sometimes, get the words just right, you know, it's a lie. Okay? Tell the truth. Let your yes be yes. Okay? So here he says, you know, why didn't you tell me? All this stuff has happened to us. And I think that he is just by the grace of God that Pharaoh did not just kill him. All right? Right there. Because he's in far more danger now than he was by just having a good-looking 65-year-old wife going into Egypt. Amen? He's in far more danger now. And you see how God can protect us and protects Abram here? If God said that you're going to be a great nation, I'm going to make you a great nation, and he's not a great nation yet, and he doesn't have any kids, don't you think that God could protect him from the famine? And don't you think that God could protect him from the circumstance he saw before himself entering Egypt with his wife? And God did. Even though Abram messed it all up and made bad decisions, God still stepped in and tried to, and not just tried to, but did. Because God doesn't have to try anything. He does what He wants 100% of the time, and He makes it happen. He protected Abram, and He protected Sarai. And you see that this is the same thing that God does in our lives. When we make bad decisions, sometimes He comes in and He by His grace, He gets us in the right place. Okay? Now then, here is your wife. Take her and go. He doesn't kill her. He just says, get out of here. Go far away from me. I don't want to see you. He says, and Pharaoh gave men orders concerning him, and they sent him away with his wife and all that he had. And so he didn't save his wife. His plan didn't save his wife. God did. God saved all of them through it. Okay, let's surprise the children's church and end early today, first of all. Okay, so this isn't going to be too long. I think this short and sweet, okay? Short and sweet today. But every time I do this, then I go long. But so anyways, but just I think it's, I'm looking at the time, I'm thinking, man, we're really tracking well. Just some applications from this that I see. Okay? And we're not going to be, Jeremiah, we're not going to be that fast though, okay? So just don't tell them about 10 minutes. About 10 minutes, okay? About 10 minutes should be right. Set your timers. Get out your smartphones. Eric, I showed you how to use that. Remember? Okay. All right. I think I made this point, but when we make bad decisions, they tend to snowball. And we think about that a lot of times in terms of lying. You know, what happens when you lie? Well, a lot of times you have to keep lying, and you have to tell another lie, and it just kind of goes downhill. Amen? Amen. And so the decisions we make, I mean, they're going to set the course of our life. And when we make decisions that don't please God, that go against what He's revealed as truth and what He's revealed as what's good for us and what's not and what's sin and what's pleasing Him, and we go a different way, then it starts taking us in a direction that gains momentum, and more bad things happen. And then you all of a sudden go from being hungry to being in danger of the, you know, Pharaoh of Egypt. That was the story here, but same thing happens to us. So that is why we don't want to make bad decisions. We want to just continually be making good decisions. All right. The next one is, and I think this is what Abraham just didn't involve God. He didn't seek God, but we need to seek the Lord when making decisions. This is a key thing. We don't just go make decisions, but we seek God in our decisions. And we don't want to do anything without seeking God. Now, I know there's a lot of different level of decisions you have to make in your life. And I'm saying that I'm going to give you a kind of a way and a thought of seeking God in your decisions that work for all kinds of decisions. And I don't mean you have to go through this process all the time. But what I really mean is this is the way you should live your life and make decisions within it. Okay, so I'm going to kind of describe to you a little bit about seek the Lord when making decisions. And this is what I think about. And this is what I think I've learned throughout the years. Okay, how to seek the Lord in your decisions. How to do it. How to actually do it. Okay, first of all, acknowledge God as you make a decision. You know, like the thought is, you know, if you don't acknowledge God, it's like you don't think of Him. It's almost like He doesn't even exist. And you just look around and you take in the evidence and you just kind of make the decisions the same way that people make that don't have God in their lives. Okay, that's not acknowledging God. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, it's a favorite for a lot of us, right? Amen. What does it say? Trust in the Lord your God with all your heart. And what else? Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. So you start off by being an acknowledger of God in your situation. God is there. God has a will. God has a plan. God has revealed Himself. He's revealed His truth. So we acknowledge God. We start off by being an acknowledger of God. And then the second thing is be about prayer. And I don't mean the kind of thing like you're like, okay, I got this job offer here and this job offer here and I want to know what to take. So this is the only time I'm going to pray to God and I'm going to say, God, you got to tell me by Monday which job I'm going to take. And I need to know, God, I prayed to you, so tell me. And you kind of approach God like He's like a magic eight ball or something like that. And you shake it up and you say, oh, take the job, B. Okay, that's not what I mean by being about prayer. I mean a life of being about prayer. I mean just like calling upon the name of the Lord. Remember we talked about last week, you know, could it be that there's a point in your life, there's a day in your life when God looked and said, that was the day that he or she began to call upon the name of the Lord and really seek Him in prayer. And to really be a man or a woman of prayer. Okay, so be about prayer. That's what you're about. And Philippians 4, 6 through 7 is a verse I picked for that. And I picked a few verses for these things. But it says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. It's just being about that. Don't take your time being anxious. Take your time praying and lifting it up to God and do it with thanksgiving and count your blessings and just be about prayer. That's going to cause you to make a lot better decisions. Not just these ones here and there, but all over the place. Acknowledge God and be about prayer. And then study the Scriptures. Study the Scriptures. The Psalm 119, 105. Thy word is what? A light unto my path. Okay? It's a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Okay, that's God's word. I mean, you're walking around in the dark without it, stub your toe, step on something. But God's word allows us to see, reveals things to us, and allows us to make good decisions in our life. And so if you want to make better decisions, then you'll be a person who is constantly in the Word of God, reading it and just allowing it to just change your thinking about things. And Romans 12:2 says, and we think a lot of start with one usually, but I'm just going to give you two. It says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And what is it that transforms our mind is God's Word. When we read and we study God's Word. I mean, I tell you, here's how it works in my life. I get up thinking a certain way, and if I don't get in the Word of God, I tend to kind of think that way the whole day, and I'm not thinking about God the way I should. I'm not thinking about my circumstances. But if I will take the time to sit down, slow down, read God's Word, read the stories and things of what God has done, I have a different outlook. My thinking has changed. It's transformed. I have a whole different way of looking at my circumstances. And I can look at them with faith instead of without faith. And so I say study the Scripture. You know, be a lifelong student of the Bible. You know, this will change your life for the good. If you really believe that this book is from God and that it is God-breathed, and that when you start reading it, it changes your heart and it changes your mind. It does amazing things. Okay, so study the Scripture. That's going to help you make decisions. You know, if you have accepted Christ and you don't study the Word of God, then you're very weak in it. Okay? You can't really follow God and what He wants with you without knowing what He's revealed. He's gone to great length. It'd be like me if I just poured out my heart and I wrote you a letter telling you, you know, what was good for you and just like my hopes. And you could think about me maybe doing this to one of my children or something like that. And they're like, okay. They don't read it and they just put it aside. I mean, that's kind of what it's like when we don't really look to the Bible to direct our decisions. So study the Scriptures. Okay, the next one is seek wise counsel from mature, Spirit-led believers. Seek wise counsel from mature, Spirit-led believers. Proverbs 11:14, where there is no guidance, a people falls. But in an abundance of counselors, there is safety. And so I don't know about you, but if I'm in the position where I feel like I have to make the decision of my own, and I can't talk to anybody about it, that's a little bit of an indication that I'm not making a good decision. I should have people in my lives and I should seek after these people that are wiser than I am, that have experiences that I don't have, that are godly people, that will seek the Lord with me and will help me make decisions, and I can go and I can talk to them about it, and then I can make that decision, and they can say, hey, I could go up to them like this, you know, I'm thinking about doing this, what do you think? And they could say, well, here's why you might slow down and wait. Or maybe we can pray about this together. Let's look in the Word. Or maybe, that's, you shouldn't do that. That's a sin. Okay, but a lot of times when we want to do what we want to do, and we don't really want to do what God wants us to do, we don't want to talk to other people. We just want to do it and convince ourselves that this is what God wants us to do. Now, sometimes this results in very painful circumstances that are really hard, that you have to actually live through. And so maybe you're already there and you have to live through those things. And okay, but I'm talking about going ahead in the forward direction now, though, right? Rather than looking back on all the bad decisions you made, how about the decisions that you can make? You seek out counsel. And don't just talk to anybody. Okay? Don't just get, you know, your peers, you know, who are just going to tell you what you want to hear. I'm just going to get all the young guys around me that think the same way I think and we'll do it. No. Seek out wise counsel, godly counsel. That's what we need to do. Amen? Now, there's another part to that, though. Okay? We got to listen. So you seek out the counsel is one thing. Study the Scripture, all these things is another thing. You know, but we actually have to listen. Listen to advice and accept instruction. What? You see that duet we got going, a trio or something? Okay, that's a song the kids sing. Listen to advice and accept instruction. In the end, you will be... I have a mic. In the end, you will be wise. Okay, I'm not a great singer. But every once in a while, God hits me with a song. Okay. And that's from Proverbs 19:20, and the translation may be a little different, but the idea is, you know, if you will actually listen to advice and accept instruction in your life, then you'll be wise, you'll make wise decisions. But if you say, no, I don't want to hear it, I know what I'm going to do, I'm not even going to seek after that counsel, and I don't want people to advise me, then you're probably not going to make good decisions. You might have already made the decision's already bad. Okay, so that's something that we need to do. We need to actually listen. And I don't think it's just listening to the counsel of people, but it's the Bible. When we read the Bible, we can just read it to collect a bunch of knowledge, or we can actually really listen to what God is saying and really apply it to our lives. So we have to be listeners. And then the next one is, to make good decisions, wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. And many times we want an answer by Thursday. We want it at a certain particular time, or we're saying, I'm just going to do this, you know. But the thing is, if God's not doing it, if God's not directing it, then we don't want to do it. You know? What's it say? Unless the Lord builds the house, he that labors does what? Labors in vain. Okay, so here we wait on the Lord and we don't rush things. Okay, if you're saying, you know, this has to get done by such and such time, and there's really no reason it has to get done. Like sometimes you have to. You know, somebody gives you something and you got to make a decision, but oftentimes, you know, it's not. It's just us rushing through things. Okay? Don't do it. Wait. If there's no reason to, you know, if it's not clear, if God has not made it clear, especially if like the people that you've talked to, you know, about it have not made it clear, then you can wait. There's no better place to be, I think, than waiting on the Lord. And that's what we're all doing at some level, at some point. So just to wait on God to make it clear. And that Psalm 27:14 says, wait for the Lord, be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. And I picked another one for you, Isaiah 40:31. I know Sarah likes this one, my Sarah. But it says, but they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Who is it that he's talking about? They who wait for the Lord. Their strength should be renewed. Okay, so to make these good decisions, wait on the Lord. I got a last one. I don't have a Bible verse for you, but I thought this would kind of be a good one to throw in here too. And I think if Abram did this, this might have helped him to make a better decision. Okay, ask yourself, does my decision show a lack of trust for God in any way? Does this decision I'm going to make, is it showing a lack of trust for God in any way? Like I said, it has to be this way. It just has to be this way. But I'm forgetting that, well, you know what? God can do it a whole nother way. I think I have to go here, and God said, no, you can go here, and I can really bless you here, and I can do it a totally different way. You don't have to do it that way. God can really do it, right? But I'm thinking, no, I'm putting my faith in going here and doing this. Okay, and I've done that a lot in my life. You know, it's like a lot of times you put your faith in your own abilities or your paycheck or different things like that. And God says, you know what? I can provide for you. I can take care of you. You don't have to worry. I will take care of you and I will provide for you. And so God does that. And so, but I think that we need to be brutally honest with ourselves as Christians. We should look and we should say, you know what? And what I'm doing, is it in any way showing a lack of faith and a lack of trust in God? Okay, it's a good question, I think, to ask ourselves. Okay, so kind of back to the numbers here. Got just two more for you. Okay, this isn't just something to do like, okay, the decisions come and now it's time to start living this way. This is how we need to live all the time, even when we're not making big decisions. Make seeking the Lord your lifestyle. That is the life that we need to live. Constantly seeking the Lord in the ways, you know, that I describe. So, do you think it's just when you need to make a big decision that you need wise counsel in your life? No, you need it all the time. Those are the kind of people that you need to be spending time with. Okay, and then the last thing I want to say is, as you think about Abram and how God eventually saved them, is can't we all just thank God for His amazing grace that when we have just made bad decision after bad decision, God has come in and He's rescued us and He's taken us to a different place that we don't deserve in any way. Amen? And so we can just be really thankful for God's amazing grace. And you know, that grace, you know, that we talk about when we sing Amazing Grace, that, you know, it really has everything to do with our relationship with Him, that there's nothing that we do that adds to it or that makes it so that we deserve God. It's all His grace just poured out on us, just given to us. And all we do is just receive it gladly in faith, and we believe in Him. And we really trust Him. Okay, so I hope that When you leave this place today, you will seek this as your lifestyle, and you will seek after making decisions, you know, in this way. And I believe, I really believe, I wouldn't be able to stand here and tell you this if I didn't really believe it, that God will direct your path and that God will help you make the kind of decisions in your life that are going to be the very best thing for you and for your family. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Dear Father, I thank you so much that you are always there with us, guiding us and directing us, Lord. And I ask you to forgive us for the times where we've just forgot about you and not looked towards you. And I pray that as we go and we live this life, that we can live it for you, and that every decision we make will be within the context of us seeking you with all of our hearts, Lord. Thank you so much. We pray all this in Christ's name. Amen.